The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
I know you're going to dig this.
Now it's time for the Tri-State Area's brand new radio talk show, Between the Minutes, featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. And now here's our host for Between the Minutes, Peter Dundotti.
Good morning and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest radio talk show brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature the Cybersoft Computer Crime Report. This is similar to my newspaper article in the Philadelphia Public Record discussing many interesting topics about computer security. By this time, everyone who has an interest is aware of the phone hacker at London's News of the World tabloid newspaper. This led to the paper being closed by its owner, Rupert Murdoch, and his appearing at hearings on the subject. What most people don't know is that there was no high tech involved. The hacking was simple and easy, and even a child could do it. People often become intimidated by technology, and that can cause them to make mistakes that allow things like their voicemail or computer account to be stolen. In this case, it appears that the user of the voicemail system used an easy-to-guess password. Often, people do not change their passwords from the default. You would be surprised how many people have a password of password or 1234. Often, the default passwords set by the manufacturers of computer equipment and cell phones is always the same. These passwords are well known and easy to find on the internet. If you are still using a default password, you should change it. If you don't know how to change your password, then get help. Most manufacturers and many retailers are happy to help. In the past, I spoke about a method I created to remember complex passwords. Instead of a password, I remember a sentence that's meaningful. For example, the sentence might be, "I love my wife, Josie." Josie was born on the 23rd. Taking the first letter of each word in the sentence, "I love my wife, Josie," becomes I-L-M-W-J. Then I add on a 23 for I-L-M-W-J-23. No one is going to guess this seemingly random collection of letters and numbers, but it won't be forgotten. This technique works with any kind of sentence, including sentences from favorite songs, your opinion of different things, anything. It is actually easier to remember these sentences, which are meaningful to your life, than it is to remember a password. And the advantage to this method is that it is hard to attack. I've spoken about the hacker group Anonymous in the past. The individuals involved are politically active and use hacking as their tool of choice. The problem is that they create problems for governments and companies, and their actions are illegal. The fact that they think their motives may be good is irrelevant. You do not cure a disease by shooting the patient. Recently, Anonymous members have been, well, less anonymous. The FBI and other governments have been searching for and finding members of this gang that took part in attacks. Recently, Anonymous attacked the popular online payment company PayPal because they no longer allowed people to make donations to another group that was engaged in illegal activities. Anonymous hacked PayPal and caused damage to the company. Last week, the FBI arrested 16 individuals on charges related to the PayPal attack. An additional 5 were arrested in Europe, 1 in the UK and 4 in Holland. The investigation is continuing and 35 search warrants were executed. The charge of intentional damage to a protected computer carries a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. Each count of conspiracy carries a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. An indictment and complaint merely contains allegations. Defendants are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. In wrapping up this week's segment of the Cybersoft Computer Crime Report, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. We'll be right back with more on today's guest on Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM.
The Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, for the best in antivirus software security.
My name is Anthony Murphy. I'm the Executive Director of TownWatch Integrated Services. I'd like you to reach out to me so we can start a TownWatch in your community. We work in the city of Philadelphia in all 22 police districts, and we'd like to work with you to improve the quality of life in the neighborhood where you live. You can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can reach us at www.townwatch.net. Reach out. Start a TownWatch in your community. Let's improve the quality of life in the city of Philadelphia.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti of Between the Minutes. Almost 1 million neighbors are suffering from hunger in the Delaware Valley. That's more people than ever before. For help, call 800-319-3663 or visit www.philabundance.org to see how you can help your neighbors in need.
Between the Minutes continues on 860 AM WWDB. Brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. www.cyber.com.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, business people, and professionals. Between the Minutes is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus security, go to www.cyber.com. Let's get back to today's show and guest on Between the Minutes, general election candidate for mayor in the November primary, City of Philadelphia, Karen Brown. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, always welcome back. You've been here a few times, and it's always been an exciting show. By the way, you're listening to Between the Minutes at its new time and home, 10 a.m. on 860 a.m. WWDB. Karen, I see you brought a guest.
Yes, I did. She is a expert on homeschooling and charter schools.
And your name?
My name is Anne Marie Daly.
How you doing?
Very well. Thank you for having me here.
Okay, so let's get right into it. You know, you're the candidate. You won the Republican primary. You are going to be the candidate running against Michael Nutter, mayor, okay, yes. The incumbent. The first thing I want to ask is, now that you really are the official candidate, are you still being referred to in the Philadelphia Inquirer and other media as Michael Nutter's opponent, or are they actually mentioning your name at this point?
The Daily News has come around to mentioning my name, but I'm still being referred as Landslide Brown in the Inquirer.
Hey, you can't beat Landslide Brown. Does that mean a landslide against Mayor Nutter?
I'm hoping that's what they're predicting the future for me.
Well, you know, hey, it's better than a fortune cookie. If the Daily News says you're going to be a landslide, then, you know, that's a lot better. So, you know, let's talk about a few things that's happened since the last time you were on the show. Now, what's this about somebody threw acid at your car and threatened your life?
Part of my platform is schools, because being a former school teacher, it's a big thing for me to see that the kids in the school get a fair education and a good education, because they're our future. And I don't want the future of our city being working in McDonald's or being part of the gangs. We have to aspire to more than that. And I sat in on Ackerman's testimony to what she spent the money on and why she needed more money, and I was appalled at what I heard. So I actually made a comment that I thought we needed to adjust the way we do business in the city as far as education. And I believed, after doing some research with the governor's satellite office here in Philadelphia, that we have way too many teachers in rubber rooms, and they're caused by tenure and non-accountability by teachers.
Now, anybody listened to you when you were on the show before knows what a rubber room is, but most people don't. It's basically a room where they punish teachers that have spoken out or done anything that they don't like.
That's correct. Normally in a job, if you've done something that is causing you to go into a rubber room, you would have normally been fired. But because of their tenure, they cannot be fired. So we have 703 teachers currently in rubber rooms in this city.
Now, let's make it clear. If they really did something illegal, I mean, if they hurt a child in some way, they're going to be arrested and thrown into jail. They're not going to go to a rubber room.
They don't have to necessarily hurt a child. They can touch a child. They can do minor things that wouldn't cause criminal offenses, but would normally get them fired. And instead of being fired because of tenure, they end up in a rubber room. And what happens is they stay in a room sort of like this with a TV and a kitchen and a couch. And as long as they show up from 9 to 3, they get paid while we pay for another teacher to teach their class. And we have the most of all the counties in Pennsylvania.
So what should we do with these people? Evaluate them on a case-by-case basis and either return them to work or get rid of them? I mean, really, quite honestly, they have tenure, but, I mean, if they did something wrong, they need to be punished. And, you know, a rubber room doesn't sound like the right way.
I agree with you. I believe we need more accountability in our teachers. And I'm not coming down on teachers because it's a small portion of the many teachers we have.
Well, everybody has nutcases. You know, there isn't anybody here who doesn't work out in the real world that doesn't say, you know, boy, what about Joe, you know? What planet did he come from? Or even just going to the supermarket. I mean, you got people that you're in line with 20 other people, and all of a sudden somebody walks up and just pushes into the line. You know, this is just normal life. Yes, it's a small fraction of the people that are out there that are crazy, but, you know, it's normal life. And what you're basically saying is that the school system doesn't have a way for dealing with this, which is normal, expect it, but not good.
The element here is not really the rubber room. It's the tenure that creates them. Tenure has caused a lot of really good teachers to see other teachers not be accountable because they have tenure. And it's the old thing, well, if they're not doing it, why should I? And I think it doesn't encourage to teachers to do what they went into this profession for. Teachers do this because they love teaching children. But I think once they get tenure, they believe, I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to hold me accountable because I have tenure. I can't be fired. We need to remove tenure. We need to increase merit pay.
And is this why your car got got the acid bath? Now, just out of curiosity, what kind of acid are we talking about? Vinegar or something strong? I mean,
no,
what did it do to your car?
Model stripper, and it literally stripped the paint off and ate away at the plastic coverings on the headlights. It was $3,000 worth of damage and 3 weeks to repair. The windows had to actually, the seal on the windows was eaten away. They had to take all the glass out and literally.
When did this happen?
3 weeks ago. It was on the front page of the Metro. It was on the.
But not the Enquirer.
No. Landslide Brown doesn't make it on the Enquirer.
Does the Enquirer hate you, or are they just prejudiced?
Stu Bykofsky doesn't like me too much, and neither does Miriam Hill. So they're
prejudiced?
Yes.
Is it because you're a Republican or because you're, you know, an outspoken woman? What's their problem?
I honestly am starting to think that it's because I'm a woman. Because if you look at the Enquirer and even the Daily News, they keep saying that there are people going after my seat. But yet they've mentioned Bill Green originally. They said that, you know, the Republican Party is going to get Cameron Brown to step down. They're going to replace her with Bill Green. Because if I technically step down, even though I'm a Republican, they can replace me with anybody, Democrat.
Yeah, but you won, so there's no way they can make you step down.
Agreed, but they keep going.
Except maybe acid baffing your car.
But the Daily News and the Enquirer keep putting in the paper to hurt my
All right, without candidate. Mentioning names, if you had to take a guess as to who acid baffed you, who do you think? Who do you think attacked you?
The only person that I was going after at the time was the teachers union.
Okay, so it was some nut job that didn't like what you were saying about the teachers union.
Yes.
And yet you were a teacher and a member of the teachers union.
And I'm a union girl. Four generations building trades. I'm not going against the union. What I said was I wanted to see tenure removed and rubber broom stopped and merit pay increased. Unfortunately, the head of the union does not agree with me that that should be the way, and that's part of their collective bargain. I have no right to say that. He's mistaken because as mayor, I'll do what Christie did. I'll go to the teachers who the union represents. I'll go to them and say, is this what you want? Wouldn't you rather have merit pay? Do you really want tenure? Because even good teachers, if they're not in line with the authorities or the administration, they get held back from tenure anyway.
Yeah.
They could be phenomenal teachers, but it's up to the administration to determine whether or not they get it.
Quite honestly, a lot of universities have already removed tenure, and some universities actually make all of their professors sign a yearly contract. So if they don't want the professor back, they just don't offer them a contract.
I think we should do that, too. I'm not coming down on teachers because I love my profession and I love teachers and I love seeing teachers teach well. And that's what I think every teacher starts out wanting to do. I think they get disillusioned as time goes on because they see so many teachers not doing that. And that's a shame.
I want to ask one more question, and we're going to ask Anne Marie a few questions. Somebody threatened your life?
We had gone. I had gotten threatening calls, and I've gotten a threatening letter saying, "We know where you live, and you stop bashing unions." I'm not bashing unions. I'm pro unions. I believe unions have a place in our city. I believe that non-union and union can work together, and our city can work in harmony. I'm not trying to bash anybody's union, but I'm trying to do what's right for our kids. Nobody's standing up for them. You hear about the teachers. You hear about the unions. What about the kids? That's the whole purpose of the schools. Have we lost sight of that?
Well, I don't know. But, the unions should be in favor of anything that helps their kids. It's their kids that are in school. And a lot of those kids are going to become union members. So, I don't know.
The unions don't care about the kids. They care about themselves. They don't even care about the teachers. Because if you can get the teachers, and unfortunately—
Their membership doesn't have kids?
They do, but I couldn't get a teacher to come on this radio station because they're afraid the union will actually come after them. I was able to get Anne Marie to come on because she actually is part of a group that is so disillusioned with the school system, she decided to be part of the cyber homeschooling.
So, Anne Marie, what's a cyber homeschool?
Well, it's actually not a cyber homeschool. It's a cyber charter school, and it's a public school chartered through the Pennsylvania Department of Education. Charter schools are independent schools that are able to design their own programs. They're looking for innovation, different ways to instruct. In a cyber charter school, the students go to school online from their homes. And there are live teachers at the other end. There are textbooks. There's curriculum. There's opportunities for field trips.
See, now, when I was a kid, computers really didn't exist. I mean, black and white TV, radio, no real plastics other than Bakelite. So this is really an unusual concept to me. Does it work?
I found it to be an incredible concept, wonderful for many students, and of course not all students. But
some students need to actually be in a. What about socialization? Do these kids get socialized at all? I mean, that's part of the whole school thing, is going to school, making friends, getting beaten up by Billy the Bully,
Well, I think we've tried to avoid the beating up by Billy the Bully. We can do that in our neighborhoods if
we
need to.
It's hard to do through a computer, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. There's cyberbullying, but we've got lots of rules and policies on that, too. There is the opportunity for socialization. There are field trips. And socialization does not necessarily require face-to-face interaction. These kids go into chat rooms. They know each other. And there are live proms. There are graduations. And
oh, really? So
you'd
still have a socialization. I mean, you get together
for not
events
daily.
And stuff. What about, one of the things I always looked forward to when I was in school, and it only happened once a year, and it was a one-day thing, was school trips. Now, the school trips was always to something like the Philadelphia Museum of Art, the Philadelphia Zoo. We didn't go anywhere, if it took more than a half an hour to get there, we didn't go. But I was told that that disappeared because there's no money for it. Do you guys do anything like that?
Many of the cyber charters do offer field trips. I know that there was one that recently went to Washington, D.C. There are lots of options for these kids in that arena.
When kids go to school, there's somebody there looking out for them, making sure that they aren't lighting the place on fire, they're not doing anything bad. It's a little bit of a babysitting service, sort of. How does that work with you guys? I mean, is there that... watching these kids portion?
Well, that's accomplished in several ways. First of all, for most parents of cyber students, they've sought a different method of education. So they are involved, they are interested. And parents are involved at home. You don't have to wonder if your 16-year-old is telling you about the assignments that are due in school, because you go onto the computer and you see what their assignments
right.
are. So at that end, the parent's able to be involved and accountable and interested. At the other end, most of them have computerized management of time. So when you log into your computer site, the school recognizes that you have logged in at the other end, and records are kept that way because attendance is compulsory.
Okay. So now you're basically involved in this cyber teaching, which I guess is the future. And, but you're here with Karen Brown. Why are you here with Karen Brown?
Actually, Karen and I started discussing education because of a friend of ours whose daughter moved here from Florida recently. And she couldn't find a single educational option that wasn't going to be incredibly expensive that met her needs. And we both ended up discussing different options that were available to us. And Karen became interested in the cyber education option and said, you know, more people need to know this. The goal is to provide excellent education for our students.
And there's still teachers involved.
Absolutely. And in fact, I believe either one or two of the cyber charters that are already established have unions.
Well, so, I would assume so.
Not all of them, because it's not necessarily the norm.
Well, it's like everything else.
But it's begun.
And this is something entirely new. Karen, what do you think about this cyber stuff? I mean, how does it fit in with your platform?
I like the fact that parents are getting more involved in their children's education. And I think, truthfully, it's the old saying, it takes a community to raise a child. I think we need to get parents more accountable, and this version does. But this, like she said, this is not for every student, because there's some parents that are not that accountable and will not stay on the child to make sure that they are actually doing what they need to be. And you need to be home. So you need to not work and be there for your child. So a lot of parents can't afford to do that. So though this is a solution for many, it's not a solution for all. We still need to correct our school system so that we have solutions for everything and everyone who needs to find education for their child.
Hmm. Okay. Well, you know, education is important. It without a good educational system, the future of our city is dimmer. With a good educational system, the future of our city is going up, and not just the city, but you know, people from the city move into the neighboring counties. So it affects everybody. You know, when we pull down the future here, you know, we're pulling it down the future for all of southeastern Pennsylvania and the neighboring parts of New Jersey. So I think it's critical. All right. So we're coming up to elections, you know, and you're running against Mayor Nutter. Now, you're obviously the Republican candidate, so you've got, you know, a hard row, you know. But you did win the Republican candidacy. I mean, the Daily is already calling you Landslide Brown. So, hey, you know, that's good. What do you want to do as mayor? Tell me everything. What do you want to do?
First thing I want to do is truly, I want to get an elected school board. I think an elected school board made up of retired school teachers from the different communities.
Well, if it's elected, it could be anybody.
Yeah, I would hope that we would entice more retired teachers. I would hope to actually reach out to them and get retired teachers to run for the elected board, because I think a retired teacher has an insight that many people do not. And if they're connected to the community already by being a teacher there, those schools mean something to them, and they'll take an interest, an active interest. We won't have this school board that we have now that sits in their Eiffel Tower and has no clue. There'll be somebody that goes in. So education is a priority. Core services are also a priority. I think the firemen and the police force have been slammed every time we have a budget crunch. And it's them we look to cut back. And we can't cut back core services. People move into the city for three reasons: education, safety, and job employment. And job employment is another opportunity. I want to do sort of what Rendell did. And I know as a governor, people have their qualms about what he was as a governor. But as a mayor, he had a vision for the city, and he developed the city, which created jobs. I want to continue developing the city so there's no waste. There's 26,000 empty lots and buildings. There should be none when I'm done. I want everything in our city to be developed so I can create jobs.
You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM WWDB and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. We're talking with Karen Brown, Republican candidate for the mayor of City of Philadelphia. Okay, so we're just talking about education. Now we're talking a little bit about the fact that the police and firemen get slammed every time there's a budget crunch. And, of course, there's huge budget crunches right now. And the educational system just made the whole matter worse by asking the city for more money, and the city's just handing it to them, which I don't understand. I mean, I would think that the money would come with a lot of strings attached to it, including prove to me you really need it. You know, it's just tough right now. Do you think you can really make it better? I mean, if you get elected, the economy's not going to suddenly get better. What's your plan to make it better, assuming that the economy is going to stay the same or maybe get worse? Can you? Can anyone?
The first thing you have to do is create opportunities in the city for employment so that there is more money to draw from. The second thing is you have to work with the governor. You have to go up and work with him because he controls the school board. He controls the money that's going into our schools. So you have to work with him to make him vision what's going on and what's wrong. Ackerman needs to go back wherever she came from because she doesn't have a clue, and Nutter is just giving her money after money. And even after he listened to her testify, he still continued to give her more, and I was appalled that he even would.
Why were you appalled? What is it that you heard when you went to this hearing or meeting or whatever it was?
She was talking about the day that I caught the part where she was talking about summer schools and the fact that she was trying to get kids to graduate. And she came up with this wonderful program called Summer Slam, or at least she thinks it's wonderful. It's a specially designed summer school program for seniors from 11th to 12th so that they graduate with their class. She had 700 children in this program. It's actually 15 days, two-week program. It's an expedited summer program for 11th graders. I don't know why it's expedited. Maybe she figures they wouldn't bother going through full summer school. But anyway, it's a 15-day program, 700 kids. It costs $23 million.
What?
That's what it was.
$23 million. Why don't they just hand each kid a huge pile of money and they're set?
I'm wondering if she's teaching them to be astronauts. What does it take $23 million to teach 700 kids? But then Bill Green asked her how many of those children graduated, and she said only two-thirds. We're spending that kind of money, and only two-thirds came through. And then she spent another $52 million to educate 1,900 more kids in summer school. First of all, my question would have been, why are so many kids going to summer school? And why are we spending so much money to do something that they didn't learn all year? Whatever happened, I think we need to change the way schools are. I think we need to go back to business schools, trade schools. We need to have Johnny Duck has started a trade school. I think not every kid's geared to college, and we need to find what they're geared to. The old days when there was business schools, a lot of women and men want to be secretaries or paralegals. We should have high schools that gear towards that. Prep Charter has a charter school where they educate half the day, and the other half they go into the workforce. That Drexel does that in college. They should do that in a high school level, too.
In fact, that was common at one time, that high schools had what they called the business track, where they taught you, you know, skills like typing, filing. You know, they taught you how to be a bookkeeper. They taught you all the things that small businesses desperately need because there's very few people that have these skills anymore.
You got the key word there, taught. The unions have now put pressure on the teachers to run the administration to run these schools like a business. It's not a business. We're educating our children. This is not a corporation that we're running. It's a system to educate our youth so that they're productive when they become adults. Unfortunately, we've lost sight of that. And I don't blame the teachers. I blame the people that are running the teachers because they're directing the teachers on how to do this. And I was one of those teachers, and I was told when there was disruption in the room, teach to the front of the class. Are you kidding me? The kids in the back of the class are somebody's kids, too.
What's wrong with the back of the class? Is that where they put the delinquents or something?
The kids know, which is ironic. The kids know. The ones that want to learn sit in the front. The ones that don't are only there to take up time because they'll get marked. Because there's no child left behind. As long as they show up, they get marked attendance. They sit in the back, and they do whatever. And I was told to teach to the front of the class because they're the ones that want to learn. It's a shame when we're teaching our kids to do that. Sit in the front if you want to learn. If you don't, sit in the back and we'll just mark you here. What are we doing? I mean, are you kidding? These are somebody's kids. Not everybody has the luxury that Anna Marie has that she can stay home with her child. She works jobs at night and does what she can to provide for her family, but not everybody can do that. There are a lot of single parents out there that have to work 9 to 5 and hope that their kids are being educated. Unfortunately, some are not.
Anne Marie, I just want to give you 2 minutes. I mean, do you really stay home with your kid? Do you have to stay home with your kid if you do a cyber charter?
You don't have to stay home. But you obviously need to make arrangements that ensure that they're, A, safe, if they're your littles. And the older kids, you need to follow up. You need to be involved. If that happens at 5:30 at night, just as it would with homework, were they going to a regular school, you have to be home, you have to check, you have to care.
So call them up at lunchtime. Hey, It's lunchtime. Are you eating your lunch? I left you a peanut butter and a sardine sandwich. Are you eating it?
Exactly. You try their cell phone, then you ring the house phone. Then you get online and you IM at them and say, I know you're sitting there. Yes. You have to follow and you have to be involved. But that's in any setting.
Okay. Well, it sounds pretty interesting. I think we'll hear a little bit more about that in a few minutes. When we get back from our break, I want to talk a little bit more about the firemen and police. These guys risked their life for us. They work hard, and they don't get paid very well. And like you said, every time, you know, there's a problem with money, they get hit first. I don't know why they get hit first. Maybe because there's more of them or something. But, you know, it's just the way it is. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about our sponsor, CyberSoft Operating Corporation, for the best in antivirus security. If you're paying way too much for your Windows security, go to www.betweentheminutes.com and click on the CyberSoft link to purchase a one-year Windows security package for $19.95. That's right, $19.95. Well, let's get back to our guest, Karen Brown, the Republican candidate for mayor of Philadelphia. Let's talk about the police and the firemen.
Unfortunately, he goes to areas where people – Michael Nutter is very bright. I have to give him credit. The things he goes to cut back are things that people won't allow him to cut back. When he went after the libraries, corporations, because people screamed, corporations came through and gave him the funding for the libraries and for the pools. And that's how they got kept open.
The Union League gave him money to keep the pools open.
Yeah. He found a way around spending the city money by making an outrage among the public so that they went to people that they knew would sponsor it, and he got what he wanted.
Why would corporations care enough to give their money to do this?
Because they're part of the community, and they want the community to love them the way we should be loving our mayor. But unfortunately, if you've ever been to a Labor Day rally, he doesn't get loved. Tomatoes get thrown at him. But, you know, so he's fine. And now he's going with the firemen and the cops, because there are cities and counties in our country that these are voluntary positions. And he's working his way towards making our poor firemen and cops, who start at $35,000 a year. Could you imagine running into a building or having a bullet shot at you for $35,000 a year?
No.
You have to love doing what you're doing, and you have to really want to do it to do this. My brother-in-law literally became a cop. He was working for the water department as a supervisor, making $90,000 a year. He took a pay cut and went down to $35,000 a year because he wanted to be a cop. He loved that, and he still is. He's in Southern Detectives now. He loves what he does. My son's working for the electric union and is now taking an application to become a fireman, which is going to be a major cut for him, because this is something he wants to do. They want to be these people, and we should be holding them higher and not cutting them back. Michael Nutter now wants to take away their overtime. Could you imagine if your house is on fire and you're in that house at 8 o'clock and it's shift change? Fireman has to decide whether or not he's going to continue to take you on, because he either is going to get paid straight time or no time. It's going to be voluntary for him because his shift is over at 8.
You know they're going to do it.
They're going to do it, and that's what I think he's pushing. He's pushing to them to do more voluntary, so that he can make it maybe a voluntary fireman and a voluntary police force where he doesn't have to pay them at all.
Voluntary police force? Come on. Even Mayberry RFD, Andy wasn't free. He was a, you know...
He's pushing furloughs on them. He's taking away their overtime. You know, the policemen just got the permission to move out of the city. And to do that, they had to give up a lot. They had to give up their overtime and their furloughs, which to me, if I were the mayor, I would have said, I don't care if you're coming from Kansas. As long as you show up on time, I'm not going to take anything away, because I hold up high anybody who wants to run in front of a bullet for $35,000 a year. You know, you'd have to really want to do that, because I wouldn't do it for four times that. You know, it amazes me that the things we need most to keep our city safe and to be safe are the ones he goes after. And he always goes after the innocents, like the firemen, the cops. You know they're going to do their job regardless. And the kids, everybody wants their kids to have safety, and they want them to have libraries and pools and things, to places to be. So they're going to find other ways to make it happen. He's not stupid. He doesn't cut things that people will do without. He cuts things that he knows people will not do without, and they'll find another way to fund.
Wow. Actually, what you're saying kind of looks good for him. He's being clever enough to bring more money in without raising a tax.
But he is raising taxes. Where's that money going? That's my point. Why are we raising taxes and cutting the things that we're supposedly should be using our taxpayer money for? When you pay your taxes, when you come into the city, you want it to keep you safe. You want it to make sure your kids get educated. You want it to make sure that all the things you need to raise your family are there. We're paying taxes, and yet he's cutting it and making the corporations or the community pay for the things that they need. So why are we paying taxes?
So what exactly – the city gets a huge amount of money. Where's it all going? If it's not going where we think it should go, which is the basic services of life, fire protection, police protection, sanitation protection, okay, where's it going?
Well, besides Ramsey, you mean? It's going to his administration. He's got a bigger administration than Rendell. And, you know, it's funny because now he's posturing. His administration was, at one time, it looked like Rendell's. It was, you know, it had more yuppies than I've ever seen in my life. And now he's getting different type of people in his, because he's posturing to his new candidacy. But he's not cutting them down. He still's got one of the largest administrations of all the mayors we've ever had.
And what do these guys get paid? Are they volunteer like
No,
like
they're not volunteer. We have less people living in Philly than when Rendell was mayor, and yet he's got more of administration. And then he created 311. Do you need an agency that costs $2 million to dial a phone number for you? Can you not dial that number yourself? And aren't they supposed to be public servants, not politicians? So why aren't their numbers in the phone book? Fumo's used to be. I mean, I know he's in jail now, but Rizzo, when he was
well,
here,
he's... still get hold of him if you know the phone number for jail.
But Rizzo's was in the phone book.
Yeah.
Why is it that all of a sudden now we've had politicians and they have private numbers and we have to go through 311 and be on hold for 20 minutes to actually get to their office? That's not creating jobs. That's wasting money. Creating jobs is giving something that actually puts back to the community. I don't think somebody dialing a number for me is giving back to the community. I'm capable of dialing. I have a cell phone. I can dial the number myself.
Well, I think the whole idea was, if I remember this correctly, that people were confused. They didn't know where to go to get help. And what he was doing was centralizing a location service. You called this number. You told them what you wanted. They told you who the correct people were to get help from and then connected you.
Did you ever call them?
No.
They don't have a clue as to where to go. I could probably tell them where to go.
And how much does this cost?
$2 million a year.
$2 million a year for basically directory service.
That's exactly it. I mean,
and you're saying they don't actually know?
No, they don't have a clue. They I don't know who trained them, but they. If you ask them something, I mean, if you say, where's the water department? Yeah, in 15 minutes, they'll find your number. 15 minutes later, they'll find your number. You can get it on your water bill. But if you say, I have a lien against my property or I have a deed I want to get registered, it takes them a half hour to figure out which department they're supposed to go to.
All right. So that's something you would cut and save $2 million immediately. But $2 million is a drop in the bucket. It probably doesn't even pay the electric bill for City Hall.
But I would do an advertisement in the public record with an actual menu of all the different services the city has and the phone numbers in there. Everybody reads the public record. It's accessible. It's free. Just like they do ads for elections, I put an ad in there every week with all the different local numbers. They have those. They used to have those cards that have all the numbers on it.
Right.
What happened to them? I mean, we used
to
do
right.
things
I haven't
much.
Seen those.
They did away with them because that would take away 311's job. We can put phone numbers in the phone book. We can put them on cards. We can do ads in papers like the public record. We'd save a lot of more, and you'd save the expense.
What else
of all these
would
people.
You do to save money? I mean, you obviously what you're saying is you want to move money from where it's being wasted to where it's needed, which is basic services of life.
I went over to Jersey and I saw, and if you go to Jersey in different sections of it, it's not all Jersey because I'm sure they're just starting it too. They're doing a lot of solar energy, which brings in a lot of government grants. I want to do that on this traffic lights to save money on what we're spending on generating the electricity for the traffic lights and bring in government grants. I want to give incentives to develop the waterfront to our corporations. I want to lease them the waterfront. I want Walmart to move across the street into the mall, and I want our waterfront to be like Baltimore, and I want to give incentives to business to remove some of the business privilege checks to get them to develop our waterfront, maybe by putting restaurants or things that would generate income into the city. I think we need to look at ways to generate income, not tax people, because I think we're running out of a tax base to begin with because there's so many people out of work. So we need to stop taxing a few of us that are still actually working and find ways to bring more people to work and find ways to generate more income.
Wow. The solar idea? Is that really viable? I mean, there really are a lot of grants and everything for that.
Walk through Washington Township. Go down to, I was in Bayonne just recently. Parts of New Jersey, they're starting to put more and more of them. They're on every light in Jersey. So it must be working for them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it. Christie is a very bright man, too, and he finds ways to save money every way he can. And there are grants out there for solar energy, and that's the way that the economy is going anyway. So why not use something that's going to eventually save us money and eventually get us grants now so we can use that money to develop
our city?
Well,
yeah, you're going to be bringing money in, creating some jobs, putting up these solar panels or whatever on the lights, and then saving money because you're making electricity that you can use to run the lights or sell back to the electric company or something to offset expenses.
it's a simple idea, but it's one that works. I mean, the problem with Michael is that he doesn't like to do his homework. I guess he never was a school teacher, so he doesn't. He went to phenomenal schools. I know him, so I know he's been well educated. But obviously, homework was not his specialty. You can make the things he wants to happen by not taxing people. The easy method is like anything else. If you don't have the money for something, use your credit card. Well, if he doesn't have the money for something, he just goes to the credit card, which is the taxpayers. We need to stop doing that. We need to find ways to live within our budget and find ways to create more money to get the things we want. That's harder than going to the taxpayers.
Well, it's very counterintuitive. You're saying tax less and you get more?
Because you find other ways to create money.
Okay.
You know, you can actually, if you create jobs, if you get rid of the waste, like the Divine Hotel and the factories along Delaware Avenue that are depleted, like the one behind the movie theater right on Columbus Boulevard, if you generate them into sources of income, people are working, they're spending more, you're getting money from the corporate or the company that's working there. So you're bringing more money in. You don't need to tax people as much. If you create jobs like the solar panels, again, you got people working, you got grant money coming in, you don't need to tax as much. If you turn the system, the school system around and not have to spend $23 million to educate 700 kids, you're saving money. You can use that money. You don't have to tax as much. It takes more thought and you have to do more homework. But if you do your time, if you do your work, and that's what you're supposed to be doing, you are the mayor. Hello, that's your job. That's your homework. You should be looking at ways to save the city money and still run the city efficiently, not cutting our core services, not taxing the few people that still have a job.
We've invited Mayor Nutter on the show a couple of times, but we've never gotten a response. And I know you were interested in debating him at one time. Did you ever get a response?
I have not heard from him. In fact, we were going to do – I was speaking to a couple of the firemen, and because of what's going on with them and because of what's going on with the Mummers, that they're trying to close the Mummers Museum, I was actually going to box Michael Nutter, and they were afraid that he probably wouldn't box a woman. But I was going to do it for charity and have all the money go to the core services and to the things that are truly Philly-based, like the Mummers. And I would take him on. I was actually going to have a cop train me, the professional boxer on the side. I was going to have Joe Frazier actually help me get ready to box him. But I don't think he would do that either.
Well, I think that would be frightening. If
we were
going
to do it at the Blue Horizon, that would have been packed house.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That would have been interesting, though.
Damon Feldman production.
Well, we could have had you. You could have done it via the radio. You could have been doing the
there you
blow
go.
By blows.
That would have been fun. I would have liked that. Give me a call if he ever agrees.
I doubt he's going to. He won't even debate me, so I doubt he's going to box me. But we would have done it for charity. I wouldn't.
You know, I'll tell you what. That'd be one hell of an interesting vote getter, wouldn't it?
It would be something to actually show that we're. It shouldn't be about politics, and politics should be. You know, it's not supposed to be as serious as it is. And it's a shame that we're in an economy right now where what's going on with the congressman and the president, it's a shame that we're every day you're watching how whether or not we're going to be actually foreclosing on our debts and whether or not the country is going to be in a crisis. It's a shame that we've come to this. Politics, you should be able to laugh at it. There was a time we did laugh at it. Unfortunately, it's become so somber that we're not laughing at it anymore. And I think maybe a little humor would actually lighten things around here.
Well, okay. That's fine. I mean, personally, I still laugh at it. I think this whole debt ceiling thing is ridiculous in the extreme. It's artificial. I mean, there's no concrete wall. It's an artificial wall that they created that they can just walk around. And, you know, what really happens if they miss it? Does the government really shut down? I doubt it. They're the ones that own the printing presses that's making the money.
Didn't you hear what he said, though? The first thing he's going after? What's he going after? Social Security. Our seniors are another one that always gets hit.
And you know what? That's just baloney, because all he wants to do is just scare the seniors into supporting his view versus his opponent's view, which is, you know, the Republicans want the taxes dropped before they allow him to spend more.
Isn't that what Nutter does, though? He goes after the weakest link, and the seniors are the weakest link. The seniors will be in arms if their Social Security checks don't show up. So go after the weakest link, they'll scream, and that'll make a movement. It's a shame that we have to go to that level. Why can't we just do our jobs and actually do what we're elected to do?
I don't know. Not being a politician, I'm just a radio host. I don't know. And I'm not sure there's anybody in the world that knows.
Oh, I'm the woman who keeps getting people trying to take her seat, or men trying to take her seat away, that wants to know that. I want to know, why is it that we elect you and you don't do your job? And your job is to run the city without killing the people in it.
Now, here's one of the things. If you get elected, you know, landslide Brown, if you get elected, you're going to be the first mayor of Philadelphia that's a woman.
That's right.
That's kind of cool.
I welcome it because I believe there's a lot of young girls that don't think they can go this far. And, you know, when we do a lot of canvassing, I spend a lot of mornings and a lot of nights, dinner times, and we even go to the clubs at night. You'd be surprised at the response from the young ladies because they don't think, they think it's, it, you know, oh, it's always been a man. Well, it was always a man in the beginning, too, and look how far women have come. And I welcome the fact that we're getting the opportunity, and I'm welcoming the fact of being the first woman, and I'm hoping to do them proud and take the seat and open up that door. I was hoping Lynn Abraham would have done it, so I would have been the second.
Well, you know, I wish you well on that. You know,
thank you.
And I think it would be a really good thing for women in this city, especially young women, to say, look at that. We've got a woman as mayor. I can become mayor. I can, if she can do it, I can do it, you know, and that's cool. But above and beyond that, okay, you're also unique in that there's a lot of people that won't want to vote for you just because you're registered and running as a Republican. But you're really, you know, a Philadelphia Republican, which means you were a Democrat. You're still a Democrat, but you're running on, under the
Republican flag.
The Republican flag, which here is basically I'm, you know, it's like the other white meat. I'm the other kind of Democrat.
You know what I'm trying to do, honestly? I'm trying to, right now, if you live in Philadelphia, if you get through the primary, there is no general. If you're a Democrat and you get through the primary, let's be serious. If you're a Democrat, look at the judges that just ran. Once they got through the primary, they getting their ropes fitted already because they know they're in for the general. We do not have a bipartisan system anymore, and I'm hoping to bring it back. Each election should mean something. It shouldn't be a walk through the door in the general.
But if you really believe that, why are you working so hard? I mean, I doubt anybody could pay you to do what you're doing. You're running as hard as anybody I've ever seen.
I really want to see this city flourish again. It used to be a great city. This is where everything started. This is where our country started.
This is the old capital.
And look what happened. Look what we've done to our city.
Do you know, and it wasn't that long ago, do you know that the United States would have lost in World War II if it wasn't for the city of Philadelphia? We were a critical manufacturing center for the city of Philadelphia, which is why when the streetcar operators went on strike and it was considered an illegal strike, they sent in the army. And they told these guys, you go back to work or you're going to the front. That's it, you know. So, you know, the city of Philadelphia is still extremely strong. We have unbelievable creativity in this city. Everything New York has, we have. But somehow or other, we just come in second. You know, and I don't know why. And but you're showing a way. Maybe this is why we're coming in second for so long now, because it's just gummed up. I don't know. You know,
I think we need to get back to caring. I think we've stopped caring about our city. And I think I'm hoping to wake people up and say, you know what? Care again, because I'm going to care. Maybe we can turn the city back around and be what it used to be, the greatness of Philadelphia.
And that's a great thing to say. That really is a great thing to say. Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM WWDB. You can also friend us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BTM Radio. More of Between the Minutes next on Radio 860 AM WWDB.
The Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, for the best in antivirus software security.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti of Between the Minutes. Almost 1 million neighbors are suffering from hunger in the Delaware Valley. That's more people than ever before. For help, call 800-319-3663 or visit www.philabundance.org to see how you can help your neighbors in need.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales at betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, the Executive Director of Townwatch Integrated Services.
And this is Pete Rodotti of Between the Minutes.
And Philadelphia needs you.
Who, me?
Yes, you. We need you to get involved in your community by joining a Townwatch in the city of Philadelphia.
How do I do that?
Oh, you reach out to me at 215-686-1459 or at www.townwatch.net. And we provide you with training, equipment, and the type of support you will need to be involved in your community.
So I can really join?
You can really join.
Join us at Philadelphia Townwatch Integrated Services.
Between the Minutes continues on the Tri-State Area's Information Talk Station, 860 WWDB.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes. We've been having a really exciting conversation with Karen Brown, the Republican candidate for mayor, also known as Landslide Brown, according to the Daily News. During the break, we were talking about something, and you said something incredible. Somebody in the Northeast said something to you. Tell me about it.
We were in North Philly, and we were canvassing, and I ran into somebody that says, I can't vote for you. You're a Republican. I'm a Democrat, and Republicans actually were the ones for slavery in Philadelphia. I said, no, you got that backwards. It was the Democrats that were the slave owners and the Republicans who stopped it. You know, I'm fiscally conservative, and that's why they call me a Republican. That's why I'm running with the Republicans. But I'm very liberal in my views. I believe that the gays have a purpose and a right in this city. And I believe that the hardships that black people have felt through the city and are still feeling because of what we're doing to them. But to think that I'm part of the slave owner party,
you know,
I'm not.
This is ridiculous. You know, the Republican Party was formed explicitly to end slavery in the United States. The first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln, who ended slavery, okay? And the first black man elected to Congress was a Republican. The Republican Party has always been anti-slavery, still is anti-slavery. Slavery is still being practiced in this country and is legal in many other countries and is still being practiced. And the Republican Party is still against slavery. It's just not a in-your-face type of thing like it was during the Civil War. I mean, the Republican Party was what triggered the Civil War. It's what triggered the breakup of places like Virginia into Virginia and West Virginia. You know, somebody to even say that meant that their education wasn't any good.
I tried to educate them, but they looked at me like I was part of the good old boys. And I wanted to tell them there's good old boys on both sides because I was on both sides. There's good old boys on both sides. That's why I'm running, to stop the good old boys. We came up with we're working on new posters for this new general, because I'm not walking through the general. I'm taking the general very seriously, and I'm hoping Michael is too. And it's a new day, new way. It's the truth. I want to be the new way. I want to be the person that holds people accountable. I want to be the person that makes people care about the city again, because I think we need to work together, Republicans and Democrats alike, and bring the city back. I'm not the Republican candidate. I'm not the Democratic candidate. I'm the Philadelphia candidate, because I love my city and I want to see it flourish.
I've traveled all over the world, and I've been all over continental United States. And Philadelphia is extremely unique. First of all, we are one of the greenest cities that I've ever seen. Okay. When people talk about how green we are, they usually compare us to like Rome. I've been to Rome, Italy. We're greener. Okay. We have trees everywhere. Philadelphians love trees. This is a beautiful place to live. But here's the other thing. We are probably the most creative populace that I've ever come across, the only other place I've ever been where creativity is as high as here is the San Francisco Bay Area, Santa Clara, San Jose. Okay? There are always people here trying something new. There's always people here trying to build a new small business. But everything's stacked against them. I mean, if you look, the movie industry started here in Philadelphia. Okay? Where is it? California. The computer industry started right here in the city of Philadelphia at the Moore College of Engineering. Where is it? California. Okay? Packard Car Company, which was really an early success right here in the city of Philadelphia. Where are they? Detroit. Okay? Really simply put, why are we always having this problem?
Because I think Philadelphia doesn't. The Philadelphians don't believe in themselves. They don't look at this as a super city. We're the fifth largest city in the United States. We need to wake up and realize we're pretty big.
We're the second largest on the East Coast. Only New York is bigger than us on the East Coast.
People see New York and they see the greatness of New York. But yet, Philadelphia doesn't feel that kind of pride of their own city. And we need to bring that pride back.
Are you going to fix it?
I'm going to. We've been, like I said, I spent
2 minutes. How? How are you going to fix it?
I'm going to go as many places and see as many people and try to excite them again about Philadelphia and let them know what I'm out there for. And I'm trying to get as many young kids. We have a lot of young kids involved in our campaign. I want to have more. And when the colleges come back, I welcome them all because they truly have the passion and the fire in them. I have a young guy now doing my website. You should see the passion in him. And that's what we need. We need kids with passion because they'll wake up us middle-class kids, the people that actually have gotten used to what's going on and lost our passion, they'll bring it back for us.
So you're basically saying the reason we're having this problem is we've gotten in a rut?
We've gotten used to it. Same old.
Political hardening of the arteries?
That's exactly it. We're used to it. We allow it to go on because it's the same old, you know, you're just another politician. No, I'm not. I'm taking a major hit every day.
Clearly, you're not another politician. You work really hard at this. You're going to be the first woman mayor. It's going to be great. Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM WWDB and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. We'll be back more with Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM WWDB next week.